guys.
What up?
Hey.
Hi. Sorry, I don't know how to use Zoom. I'm like still very clueless on Zoom.
You don't do Zooms all day?
I try my hardest not to. I like a FaceTime situation.
I know, it's still unclear to me why everyone just decided to Zoom when we already have like other video chat stuff that everyone was already using and seemed better. I guess it's more of a corporate thing.
I think so. I just had a one-on-one Zoom call and I was like, we could have just called each other. I don't know.
Remember like in the 90s, I think there was like a phenomenon of flashers, like dudes in trench coats that would walk around and just expose themselves suddenly, like in public. That was like a big thing. It would like be in the news. There were like serial flashers.
What year was that?
I don't know. It just seems like a 90s kind of like street crime you don't hear about anymore.
The other thing that seems related that you don't hear about anymore is the guy who sold watches.
Yeah. Didn't White Project do a jacket like that though? Recently?
I think they did. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, bring it back. That's luxury to go.
Yeah, trench coats used to be really crucial for like all kinds of cool crimes.
I often reference, every time I see a trench coat, I reference flashers to it. I think that's a staple, a classic look.
That's the Raf Simons look, right? Because you don't, shorts with the long coats.
You're like, boxer shorts?
Does that guy have anything on underneath?
Yeah.
Or is he just wearing a big Raf Simons coat and boots?
Right.
Just Raf Simons boxers and a coat.
Yeah.
It's good to create that sense of mystery.
Exactly.
Like
attention, if you will.
What is it? The Winnie the Pooh, where you wear a shirt with no pants. Mm-hmm. Just imagining wearing like a giant Raf Simons sweater, but with little shorts underneath so you can't see them. So it's just like a man wearing nothing but a big sweater in public. I think that's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bike shorts.
Bike shorts.
That's the vibe.
But like really, really small ones.
Yeah. As we transition into the fall fits, let's set it up. Sam, I've been gone. This is Corporate Lunch, the GQ's fashion and customer service podcast for those who love fast casual dining. And
we have a whole tagline now. No, you can just say that.
Yeah, what is it? The podcast about clothes.
About clothes.
All right, thanks.
I liked where you were going with that, though.
It wasn't going anywhere. It was bad.
That recently happened, that tagline, right?
We rebranded for episode 100.
I love that.
I was trying to impress our guest, world-famous fashion stylist Ian Bradley, by doing like a more clever riff on the tagline, but I just bricked it. So
I'm impressed. I'm very, very, very impressed.
It's episode 106.
Episode 106.
It's Ian's first podcast, right? I saw on Twitter this is very first podcast appearance.
I can't believe that.
I'm very selective, and this is like starting off on the top, you know? I couldn't go higher from here.
Yeah, exactly. You can retire immediately after your debut.
You'll never have to do a podcast again.
Yeah, this is an exclusive. so I say now, you know.
What's the deal? Do you hate podcasts?
I hate
It's okay to say yes.
No, I hate the sound of my voice, but I actually listened to you guys so much during Quar that I was like, okay, I can do this.
Hell yeah. That's what I like to hear.
It's actually so bizarre to hear you three and to actually have you guys talk back to me, which is... Because I've talked to the podcast before. I'm like, oh, Sam. So this is like a very bizarre sensation, actually.
So in this special episode, you ask us questions, not the other way around. We can...
Just
kidding.
The good thing about doing a podcast, like the secret to if you hate your own voice is you just never have to listen to it.
That's my game plan, actually. So that's,
this will be the episode of Corporate Lunch you never hear, and that's fine.
When people bring it up, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that thing, that one time.
Oh, I didn't listen to that episode. What happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Ian is one of the all-time Twitter follows. You're one of few stylists I know who uses Twitter. You have a great Instagram presence, and you've done some really killer work for GQ as well, including a super stellar like, this is, I mean, I have actually looked back at this recently because it felt like I needed it. It's like looking at this spread that you did with Sam Hine about going out, which at the time just felt like, oh yeah, we're going out. But now it's like, we were going out.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't exist anymore. That, like, that was back in the day.
Yeah. RIP China Chalet. Yeah.
I know. We immortalized it in the pages of GQ.
I know, and it is actually, it's so cool that we did that, because I feel like every magazine in the United States has circled the idea of doing like a China Chalet story, and we actually ended up
doing it. Yeah.
It was that, in that moment, like GQ, we were like working on restructuring all of our like fashion content around going out. We were like, what do people buy clothes for anyway? It's just for going out. This is our whole way forward. And then the world collapsed around us, and
that's not even an option anymore.
So you're working again, Ian, right? You
I am
a long cool. core.
Yeah, I've been schlepping starting in August. I got back to styling, which is great, because I convinced myself at some point in lockdown that I would never work again and styling was a mistake and the fashion industry is over. But you know, that was like a 2-day spiral, so
yeah, you're going to have to become a professional podcaster.
That's exactly. What I was terrified of.
I've heard from some people that like once the floodgates opened, it was crazy. Like there was a lot of shoots backed up and work backed up, and everyone's trying to like rush in a bunch of projects before the second wave hits. Is it kind of chaotic?
I'm into like wealth hoarding or money hoarding right now. So I will say anything to, or yes to anything with like decent money, but I've been getting some like editorial in as well, but I'm just like, where's the money at so I can safely be in lockdown for another 6 months if needed.
Is it a lot different now than it was? I mean, obviously like everything's different, but is it in terms of like the shoots that you're styling, is it like a lot more like of a skeleton crew situation? Are you sort of doing everything yourself now? Is like, what's the deal with how it's been going?
So it started off really like empty sets and or like, you know, like no makeup artists, like having the models, you know, hair and makeup and stuff, but it's gotten a little more relaxed. I actually like wearing my mask on set all day. I'm like fixing a model and like in their face, so I think that's like a nice protection to have, and I should have been doing that all the time. There's less people on set, which is kind of nice. It's actually very nice because there's just less riffraff and straight to it.
Have you been traveling at all yet? Did you guys, I noticed that this week everyone's in LA suddenly, like all these New York people went to LA, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I didn't know we were like going to LA now.
No, I'm not trying to go to LA because I don't know. I've been staying away from travel jobs, but people are like flying in and out for like one day for projects and stuff. But I don't want to like take the risk, and the Californians are wild. So
yeah.
Seriously. No respect for COVID.
I feel so confused. I keep seeing like, I'll just see like someone on a plane or someone in a place where I know they haven't been. And I'm like, what? Did something change that I'm not aware of? But I guess the risks get lower and people get more comfortable taking.
Yeah. And well, like New York, I get why we feel like a bit safer these days, but yeah, LA is like, or California is wild, but they are shooting like crazy, and like projects are getting greenlit out there and stuff. So people are traveling, doing the bi-coastal lifestyle again, which I'm trying to stay away from.
Do you like being like, was that typical for you in a pre-COVID world? Was that your usual schedule, was just back and forth coast to coast?
Yeah, I was like in LA at least every 2 months. Like I realized since 2015, this has been the longest I haven't been in LA. So, I was there in February. So yeah, at least 6 months at, or like 5 months at max, I would be away from LA. And I miss it low key, but not that much.
And where are you from?
Our nation's capital. DC area, but I've been in New York for 16 years as of last month. Yeah, it's crazy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I could have had a kid or something. I don't know.
You could have a kid in high school.
I know. I could have had a 16-year-old instead of 16 years in New York.
You would at least like know how to use TikTok.
True. Yeah. Oh my God. How did you know I don't know how to use TikTok?
Well, I assume like TikTok is one of those things that like you only really can use it if you like grew up.
True. Yeah. No, I had a brief TikTok period during lockdown, but I was like, I'm going to try to make one. I had like a whole alter ego. I'll just expose it now, where I was going to be like a stylist post COVID, where I don't touch the model and just wear crazy PPE and jewels the whole time. But yeah, I was too lazy to produce it. And yeah, talking to the camera is like a whole spiral that I can't go down.
So I was going to ask you about like your embrace of Twitter, which I think maybe has to do with like you having, like, as a stylist and fashion person, you seem to have closer media ties than maybe some others do. I'm not really sure, but I was going to ask you what you're doing on Twitter to begin with, because it isn't typical of stylists necessarily. And then also, what do we understand to be like the fashion world's relationship to TikTok at this point? I know, like, I follow Brian Boy on Twitter, and he's just on Twitter talking about being on TikTok, which I think is really funny. But I just, yeah.
Well, Twitter, I mean, I joined Twitter really early on, like 2009, I don't know. And I've always liked it. And I don't know, there were a lot of fashion people on in the beginning, and then they phased out to Instagram.
Yeah.
And I just kept it up because I like my writer friends use it. And in the last 2 years, it's been the wave of high fashion Twitter and like,
right.
So it's been really, I guess like actually the Tumblr excursion, they came over to Twitter, and a lot of my Tumblr favorites became Twitter favorites, like Rashida, who does How to Be a Fucking Lady, and she's an archivist. And so they moved over, and I feel like fashion's discussed way more on Twitter, but I've always used it to like talk about pop culture, and I just like it for interactions the most. There's just, you get a gravity of people's personalities. I do censor myself, I think, because, you know, a lot of people are advertisers, and I have to request those clothes, and I don't want like those searches to come up, but I just find it really fun. And I actually, there was a period where nobody was using Twitter, so I got really casual with it, and I think that's like kind of stuck with me. Now people are way more Twitter active, I feel like.
Yeah, I forget about high fashion Twitter.
Oh, high fashion Twitter is great. Like, I've been following people, and then they're like, oh, it's my 19th birthday, and I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, but also, how do you know so much about Gianfranco Ferré? Yeah. Like, it's so crazy, which is so cool, because I most definitely was one of those teenage kids that knew a bizarre amount about like Jean Pateau or something, you know. It's just like, so it's cool being connected with industry people and then like fashion appreciators.
You were a bit fashion nerd and historian and archivist from a young age?
I literally was just looking at this library book I stole in seventh grade called like Couture, and it's like from 1988, and it features like designers from like the late 1890s to, I think it ended in like Karl Lagerfeld's like Chloe, like very like 80s, and it like changed my life and like was very descriptive of all the designers, and it was very educational, and is still what I like base a lot of my stuff off of, or inspired by.
The late fees are probably insane.
Crazy. Oh, you owe that library hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I'm like, wait, is it? It's almost, yeah, I've had this book for 17 years. That's so crazy. Okay, actually longer than that. Okay, anyway,
Is there some like known golden era for couture? Is there a peak or a moment, like the most famous kind of like era? I have no idea.
I was going to say 1940s.
Yeah,
I was going to say 1940s too. Yeah, post-war Dior is really like a monumental cultural shift. It was, as they say, a cultural reset. It was the new look. The new look, the new normal, you know? And I mean, it's also like this book talks about the shift of like couture made to order and the transition into ready to wear, and which is what we're living in now.
Now you can get Dior Jordans, and it's all part of the same story.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
What I really like about like luxury houses, like really big ones, whenever they do something like that, they try to tie it back to the original couturier, as if as if they're like in the grand tradition of Christian Dior. This shoe is all about craftsmanship. It's just always really interesting. There was like a Coco Chanel, or there was a Chanel collection that was like beach themed a few years ago. And like Pamela Anderson was like in the front row, and they were like very much like in the way that Coco Chanel was always in the south of France during the summer.
You know, brand codes in a new world.
Coco Chanel that is the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. Her first handbag said, you know, beach, please.
Beach bag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we're entering another period of couture brilliance? Because one thing that this era has in common with the 40s is, I hope you're doing well in these unprecedented times. Crazy shit is going down.
Is that what people walked around saying in the 40s?
Yeah, obviously. That's what they emailed. That's what they Morse coded to each other.
Hope this finds you well.
Dear Yves Saint Laurent, I hope you're staying safe and healthy.
I mean, he fought in the war, or like they tried to.
Well, he had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, legend.
Yeah.
Super relatable.
Absolute king.
Yeah, honestly, like, same. I would be the exact same.
But Sam's question is a good one, maybe, or a terrible one. But is there another golden age? Did we just miss one? Were we close to one and now it's not going to happen because everything's fucked? Or are we still 20 years away from one?
It's so hard to say. I don't think. I mean, I don't know. I don't think a couture resurgence is happening. I don't know what the answer is next, but I don't think made to order. I feel like people are so cheap these days about luxury goods. I think there will be a wave of. I mean, it's already happening. Like this. Secondhand and used items are greater appreciated. So I think like high quality made items from the past will be even more celebrated in this near future. But I think, people are getting really too excited about just fully wearing sweatpants all the time.
All right, so speaking of, what are the, everyone's gonna tell us what their fall fits are, but now you can't say sweatpants because Ian just shit on sweatpants. So if you say
you can do sweatpants. Okay,
I wasn't gonna say sweatpants.
You think anyone here is sweatpants, Noah? Come on.
No.
Wait, should I start for fall look?
Yeah, sure. You just volunteered to.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, kind of my fall thing is, especially after being in lockdown, and I did order a couple of luxury items. My thing is like wearing something really nice every day. Like my last item I bought in stores before lockdown was like a Prada tuxedo shirt, which was like, oh, perfect. Like casual, like I needed a tuxedo shirt, and then I was in lockdown. And then I found myself wearing it at my house with sweatpants, but like wearing like a tuxedo shirt at home. So like, just like things like that, like wearing a loafer to go to Whole Foods, even though like I'm wearing like a sweatshirt or something, just like trying to put on one luxury item for very casual things.
Like Prada spring summer 21 look 27 with white dress shirt, black tie, and sweatpants.
Literally that. Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Among the looks of the season.
That was the look. Wow, I didn't even make the connection. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense, I think, also in terms of like, a lot of people are like, oh, well, we're not going out, we're not going to work, we're not doing all these things. What's the point of wearing any of this stuff? And I always think, did you really just wear nice clothes so other people would see you in them? Like, that's a weird thing to me. Obviously, it's part of it. But like, I never bought something particularly nice or special or wore nice and special shit because of who I thought would see me wearing it, I guess. So like, in that logic, why wouldn't you just wear that shit at home to do whatever? And it does make sense. You wouldn't maybe go all the way with the look. I think the tuxedo shirt and sweats is like the prime example of that. Like, if you love that shirt, wear the fucking shirt. You don't need like the occasion for the shirt. That seems bizarre because it's not like it's particularly difficult to wear or high maintenance or uncomfortable or something. You just wear it and do whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm a very guilty person of saving something for like the right event. So
you gotta break that now.
I've broken it. Like, I have like this Wills Bono shirt for like 2 years and I'm like, the perfect cocktail party, the perfect dinner party. And like, I don't think that's gonna happen anytime
soon. You should go put it on right now.
I should
do it for your next podcast.
I will. I'm gonna save it for my next.
Yeah, at the 30-minute
audio. Perfect.
At the 30-minute mark, we'll all go do an outfit change and come back and have new fits.
I feel like, Rachel, you do that. You're very good at wearing like a casual luxury item.
Well, I have a question, first of all. Like, Noah was saying, you know, all these people are saying, why would you wear that stuff now? And I keep hearing that. It's like, everyone is saying like, yeah, well, everyone is saying now that, you know, why are you still getting dressed? Like, no one's getting dressed. Who is that? Who's saying that?
I don't know. I'm perpetuating a myth that doesn't exist.
I feel like a lot of people to me look better than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like thinking about one thing I really like to do when I can't sleep is like think about people I like didn't like in the past and try to find them on Instagram. And I found this guy who was really mean to me at Lucien in 2014. And I was like, yeah, what happened? I was like, what happened to that guy? And I looked him up and he looks amazing. He looks so good that I almost DM'd him and I was like, I'm really sorry that like we ended up not being friends. You look so great. I didn't end up doing it. But I feel like Ian, you look great. Sam, you look great all the time. Like, your hair is better than ever. Like, Noah, your hair is better than ever. I don't know. I just feel like people are really turning out some looks.
Yeah, I have noticed, like, on especially when I came back to New York on like the really nice days, everyone was dressed up.
Oh yeah.
When people went outside to like chill with their friends, it was people were like really going for it, as if to celebrate, you know, this emerging from their quarantine chrysalis, like the butterflies they are, you know. It was really cool. Like, you could just feel it in the air.
Wait, yeah, so, I mean, okay, are any of you guys going to buy a new coat for fall? That's what I've been debating.
Wow, that's a really
exactly, right? I was looking at, like, coats, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I could probably stick with, like, last year's archive, you know.
I probably won't.
Dip into the Ian archives.
Yeah.
There is, I have found one I really want. That's extra impractical because it's more like a heavy blazer. And that really feels like something I'm not going to want. I want it only because I want it. I probably won't actually do it and I certainly don't need it. So probably not new coat, no.
I actually do feel like it could be an important year to have a new coat because I'm wondering if a lot of these restaurants are going to like set up heaters and try and get people to eat outside.
I'm gonna buy like, one of those North Face Mount Everest like full body puffer suits so that whether they have the heat lamp or not, I can dine outdoors through like February.
Well, if all the homies get them, then we can just do picnics, like full on sub-zero picnics, like in sleeping bags maybe.
Well, yeah, I was just gonna say we should just get sleeping bags.
I agree with Rachel though. I think it could be an important season to get a big like fat new coat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, I've just been like, I feel like a lot of what I've been going through in getting dressed during quarantine is not merely like wanting to be like comfortable and like more considered about my clothes, but also like wanting to look more adult. Like, I just feel like such a child if I'm not wearing, like if I didn't like get up and sort of think about what I'm wearing. And I think an important part of being an adult is having a product coat.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of like, maybe that's like, you know, I don't need like a puffy coat, but maybe that's something that I would save up for.
It does make you feel like an adult.
What's the product coat? Is it not a nylon one? You mean like a wool, like big?
Yeah, like boxy. One of her like old movie star, like opera coats.
Like, yeah. A swing coat. Oh, yeah. Oh my God, take me there. Wait, I'm gonna look that up right now.
That seems good for that seems good for dining outdoors, like in a cafe, like in a
totally.
On a chilly night in like a Parisian cafe, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, take me there.
Is that going to be the energy in New York? Is going to be outdoor dining through the winter with like heaters and cafe style seating like that?
Well, someone told me this outdoor stuff is over at November 1st. But now that we're a subtropical climate in New York, yeah. I think we could extend that.
Yeah, I think currently restaurants aren't allowed to do like portable gas heater outdoor things. There's some like some New York regulation, but I think the hope is that you know, they'll revise that so that these businesses can like survive.
Well, you could also do a park hang, you know, you could get takeout, you could get steak free takeout or something. Mm-hmm. And go in a park.
Wait, somebody has to go next on the fall fits, because so far only Ian has gone and we really left him out to dry.
Okay, yeah, I'll go. I can go. So I've already shared my fall look with Ian, but I'll expand more of the details here. My fall look is Nan Kempner as a dirtbag sophomore in college who's like kind of flunking out.
Okay, get more specific.
I don't think I need to. No, okay, so
no, like...
So first of all, for me, like the answer to the, oh my God, like I can't wear sweatpants problem is to wear fancy boxers.
Mm.
So I got the Raf Simons boxer shorts, and I also got a pair of the R Legacy Stussy boxer shorts. And I've just been wearing those with like big sweaters, giant t-shirts, like really nice sweatshirts, and like little jackets. Mm-hmm. Like all my little kind of like silk dinner jackets and stuff. And that's just like, that's it. That's the look. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Will you just tell us who Nan Kempner is? I mean, I have vague notions that she's like a socialite, but I don't think she's like well known enough for us to drop that name and move on. That
okay, yeah. So Nan Kempner was like a legendary collector of couture. And she was like the number one client of Yves Saint Laurent in America. And she would just like, she was one of these people who really bought like a collector and like did that in her time. So she would like pick out specific pieces that she felt like were going to create this really great archive, which she then donated to the Met. And actually, if you look up her name, if you go to the Met's collection search and like look up her name, you can find all of her pieces. And many of them have these like incredibly florid catalog essays that are like,
they should.
They're like, this mesh Gautier top is exemplary of the tattoo collection first shown. And it's like written as if it's about, you know, like an important piece of, you know, impressionist art, but it's about like Jean-Paul Gaultier's tattoo collection. It's kind of a fun way to think about clothes. It's very, in some ways, it's kind of like parallels Grailed or like going on first dibs in a funny way.
I've never done that. That's my weekend plans now. I'm very excited for that. Mm-hmm.
It's really, it's like a good way to teach yourself about like how people who buy clothing in this way that we now think of as being pretty like standard in menswear, of like kind of creating this archive. Like, this is something that like women have been doing for.
Been doing, especially Nan. We stand Nan in this household. Mm-hmm.
I can go next.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I have two thoughts on the fall look. One is I spent all summer creating, like, you know, amassing like a sort of medium sized pile of really beautiful vintage t-shirts. I think fall is going to be about really beautiful old dress shirts and just wearing them like to death. I haven't fully dove into the market yet, to see like how much like, you know, the Charvet estate sale shit on eBay is popping, but I think that there's got to be some like really nice stuff out there.
There's really good Charvet on the RealReal, Sam.
Yes, there is. Wait, yeah, don't, oh my God. I hate that you said that. That's been my, I've been saving up. Yeah.
I'll bleep it out. Oh,
no. No, but we were talking about Vintage Armani recently and how the RealReal is the place to look because that's where you get the like dead granddad's closet goes, and it's not going to end up on Grailed, obviously, or even really eBay. The RealReal, because they come and pick it all up, and it's like, hey, grandpa's dead, take his clothes, and then, you know, and then Sam wears them around Dime Square.
Yeah. Rachel and Lloyd wear them.
Sam, fuck with what Sam's saying.
What's the second part of your...
The second part is, I was just thinking about this because Noah said like, oh, you know, we're all going to get these big coats and meet in the park. And I think that, do you guys remember that meme from last year, Christian Girl Autumn, where all of the Southern bloggers were basically dressed identically with like the high boots and the skirts or like jeans and sort of those like
Celine Phantom bag
plaid. Yeah. The big plaid, like shawl wraps. I do think there's something to be said for dressing with your homies. There's something kind of like undeniably beautiful about rolling deep with people who are like, you don't have to be like not dressing identically with them, but where it's like very clear that you arrived from like the same function, you know, that you came from the same place. I think there's something very there's something very sweet and tender about that, especially in this moment.
Do you coordinate or it just happens?
It can be a natural process where like you just sort of naturally become friends with people with like a similar kind of style vibe to you, or who like participate in similar activities, so you sort of wear the same shit. Or it can be like, I think there's something awesome about coordinating, about being like, all right, guys, we're all wearing our Rick Owens Ramones today.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm someone who's very big into like event appropriate, so I know if I'm meeting up with a friend, I'm like, oh, you know, like, well, for instance, you know, like Tom Brown team. Like, I'm like, all right, well, I'm not.
Great example. Yeah.
I'm not going to go full Tom Brown, but like, I will wear like a Tom Brown Oxford with like a pair of jeans, you know, and like just, or like, I don't know, like my musician friend, like I'll show up in like a black leather jacket. So I like that. I totally feel that like looking like a tribe in a way is like,
The return of the style tribe for fall.
Mm-hmm. Like warriors,
happens. It happens naturally a little bit too. Like you don't really have to overthink that too much.
Yeah.
If you have the right friends, it's going to happen. I like to also hang out with people that dress really different than you though. Like that's also a cool thing. When you see two people that are like clearly vibing, but look like they're from totally different fucking planets. That's great.
Like, how does that work? Yeah.
On different waves, but still building.
Yeah,
that's right. That's the language I was looking for.
When you see like a dog, like a dachshund and like a like poodle mix or something.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, how did that work?
And one's wearing
a dabble doodle. What do you call those? Dabble doodles? I don't know.
That's what I'm just going to call it. Like if I see two people walking down the street and like one is in full calm and the other is in like really aggressive, like Kith or something. Oh my God, a Dabradoodle.
A Dabradoodle.
So Noah, what's your fall look?
Well, I'm just going to co-sign the dress shirt thing. The only things I've bought in the last few months have been white shirts, vintage white Yoji or Comme des Garçons or Issey Miyake shirts. Issey Miyake has a really good like gauzy cotton and, comb like poplin white shirts are the best, and you can like they're really easy to find vintage and have really cool strange shapes, but like seem otherwise very like ordinary and classic but have a little bit of weirdness to them. I'm not going Charvet, but like I got one vintage comb white cotton shirt that I've just worn like every day. But my fall is really shaped around my two faves, Evan Canori and Camille Forkins. And it's like, they're both kind of weirdo, anti-fashion-y, outsider, kind of shapeless, but like really deliberate carefully crafted clothes. So I'll be wearing mostly Evans, kind of like pared down, sturdy, beautiful, simple thing. And then Camille's like totally bizarro, like art school. Everything looks like it's falling apart and frayed, but is also like really sturdy and consciously made. But anyway, all the clothes are just really like sturdy and structured like armor, just like protective layering, utilitarian, monochrome, all brown. Most of the stuff I'm excited about is wearing is brown, and then there'll be like some orange or all navy. And just big and boxy and sturdy and very straightforward.
I like that for these.
Like a UPS driver.
That sounds very appropriate for these unprecedented times.
I feel like we're all in like 2 weeks, we're going to be at an outside bar and like Noah's going to walk up and be like, I've got a package.
Yeah. I'll come like repair the refrigerator and then
did someone order a pizza?
I'm wearing UPS socks right now. So I'm on that wave with you.
How'd you get UPS socks? You can order them?
eBay.
You can buy them? Oh.
eBay. It's the perfect brown.
You can order USPS shorts, I realized, on the internet as well.
That was the other part of my... Since fall
ooh,
is...
Really? Fall, I didn't know that.
Sam, you're saying you can buy like the official mail carrier, like what they wear stuff? I thought they don't sell that stuff.
If you look it up, it might be like faux... it might be replica gear, but...
I think
the reason why you'd buy it is because it's just fucking cool. And
I think it's like old Celine.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it means something, you know? Like, totally. It stands for a bygone thing that is in danger of never happening again.
Never happening again.
I have more fall look stuff to say, too, which is I've just been watching and playing so much tennis. And since the fall, like we live in a subtropical climate, like Ian said, is that what it is? Subtropical?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Like, it's going to be warm for a while. So I like the look of the tennis player walking out onto the court before the match starts. So you're in like crew socks and sneakers, you know, knee length. I like a little below the knee length, a longer short with pockets and then like whatever, but you have like a hoodie or like a warm up jacket and like the headwear and like the bag, like you're just entering the arena before the match starts. That's kind of like my vibe for the next few months until it really gets cold.
Sheet.
Entering the arena, entering the US Open finals, wearing my Agassi wig and
your favorite to win.
Yeah. Just, I was up all night the night before eating pizza and smoking meth and I'm just ready to win the US Open.
I mean, tennis is just absolutely the most important sport right now.
It is.
I agree.
I know everyone, I get so confused because like last night, I think there was a football game and there's been basketball and then like really good tennis is on and I'm just watching the tennis and like doing my thing of looking at Twitter simultaneously and everyone's talking about other sports, not everyone, but lots of people are. And I'm like,
what other sports?
Yeah.
The tennis is on, man.
Yeah. Tennis is the only one. I'm trying to look like Arthur Ashe in 2021. So I'm feeling that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the steeziest dudes of all time.
Ultimate.
Arthur Ashe.
Should we do Stan or Ban?
Yeah, let's do Stan or Ban.
Stan or Ban.
I think I need to come up with like some sort of sound effect for this.
Yeah.
Doo-doo.
Like a 13 like vibes. Thunder.
Air horns. Everything is air horns.
Stan or Ban.
Ian, do you know what Stan or Ban is?
New
corporate lunch franchise.
It's like yay or nay. Hot or not.
Yeah. This first one is so important. It's something I've been thinking about a lot, not for myself, just in general in the culture. Stan or ban facelifts?
Facelifts?
I stan. You reboot, refresh, let's go. Mm-hmm.
We've been doing too much of like, oh, every couple months I do this, every couple months I do that. No. Just get in there and do it all.
Full reboot.
Is this where they pull it back and like stitch it behind your ears?
They take it off. They take it off. They don't just stitch it. They take it off.
Oh, ban every time.
No. Ooh. Sam.
What do you think, Sam?
Oh, I stan for sure. Okay, Ian, stan or ban, Supreme?
Stan, always. It's a classic, you know, people try to ruin it, but, you know, I think they do it well and they make great pieces that you might not want to wear right away, but like you rock that a year later and everybody's like, oh, and it's nice when it's taken out of full context, I feel like, or not full Supreme look, but I stan fully.
I think that's a great idea to buy something. If you buy something current season, you should put on ice for a bit. Let it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Let it mellow.
Unless you got that lipstick. I tried to get the lipstick. I had it in my basket, and then they were like, sorry.
No. That red on you, I would. That red was pretty actually.
I like how they had, how Pat McGrath was in Bill Strobeck's apartment doing the like.
So cool.
It was like crazy. I fuck with it.
I love that. Keeping it real.
I stan Supreme too, obviously.
I think it's four stans here.
Okay. Well, this one I'm going to skip because we already have talked about it. It's Twitter. So the next one is Gwyneth Paltrow, stan or ban?
I mean, I've dedicated my whole life to her following or her teachings and her Shakespeare in Love award show season changed my life. And then, yeah, I'm so thankful. Gwyneth, if you're listening, thank you.
She is, don't worry. She is.
For sure, friend of the pod.
I saw a picture on Instagram yesterday that someone posted of her smoking with a glass of red wine at a fashion show.
Oh, I know that one. It's so good. Oh, it's so good. I miss regular smoker, Gwyneth Paltrow. But I like that she's perfect.
What year was that from, do you think?
99.
Yeah, I think so. She's wearing like leather pants, like Gucci leather pants.
Oh, it's so good. You stan Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, the fits, the Gwyneth Paltrow 90s fits are incredible. They're basically all good.
Yeah, it's a gift that keeps giving.
Did you guys watch her? We talked about the Goop show, right? I stan, but then I didn't really respect how on the show she made like all of her underlings do like the freaky stuff and she didn't, like she like, didn't take ecstasy or eat mushrooms or whatever she was supposed to do on that one episode. And then there was like the vagina orgasm episode that she didn't get down and dirty in, and she had like all her employees doing it. I was a little bit like, this feels kind of like elitist and like you are supposed to be like of the people and like really leading by example, and she should have been like eating mushrooms.
I feel like she's done those things. I mean, she's most definitely has done those things off camera. Yeah. I just think yeah, it's too forward for the rest of America for her to do it, I think.
I get it.
Noah, it is such a it's such a beta male opinion to be like, it's really elitist of Gwyneth Paltrow to not have an orgasm.
No, I mean that she didn't do it on TV.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, I like the show. I would have liked to see her do mushrooms with her crew, but you know, she can't release those things to the world, I feel like.
Yeah, she's got a lot more hinges. She's got more at stake, let's say, than anyone else.
Exactly.
All right, Ian, stan or ban Travis Scott McDonald's collab?
Stan. I think it's interesting.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm very positive, but I think it's, I actually don't know too much about it, but I like that McDonald's. I saw like a pair of carpenter shorts. Is that real?
Yeah, there's like 90 pieces of merch for it.
Okay, honestly, everything I've seen of it on Twitter, I always think it's photoshopped, and I actually don't know what the project is.
It's all real. All of it is real.
Okay. I like that a lot of fashion brands were like, we just can't like do it this season. Like, we'll put out a small video and a collection of 15 pieces. And then Travis Scott was like, I'm going to make a full line of clothing with McDonald's.
Yeah. It feels cool. You know, like Telfer White Castle. I like the fusion of fashion and fast fashion. I mean, fashion and fast food.
Slow fashion, fast food.
8, period.
Okay, the last stan or ban is juice bars.
Wow, I stan. I mean, as a person who doesn't like to sit down for meals, especially when I'm busy, a juice bar gets me through the day.
If you stan McDonald's, you have to then stan the juice bar. I mean, this is how we find balance.
Totally. There's a balance, there's range, if you will. But yeah, I'm very pro juice bars. Why is juice bar a stan or ban question?
I don't know, because I wanted it to be.
Hey, I'm into that.
Wait, I think we have one more. Let's do stan or ban digital fashion week / digital activations.
I'm ban.
The only ban. I think that was the only one you banned.
Honestly, the please RSVP for it, this digital fashion show thing, really, it drives me insane. It actually drives me insane. Which I know the PRs need it to see who is engaging and stuff, but hey, just following up, please check in for our 3 p.m. digital show. And I'm like, no, I'll watch it eventually, but I don't, yeah, I'm banned.
Did you find any of it useful just in terms of doing your job, from just a purely functional professional stylist point of view? Was it easier to see a lot of shit and wrap your head around what was going on and take notes and navigate everything? Or is it all just a mess and pointless?
I don't know. Usually when I honestly don't want to be on my computer unless I'm being paid to, or it's related to a job and you know, I mean, I'm sure eventually I'll do it. Even when we have regular fashion weeks, I'm pretty bad about keeping up as day to day, but then I go on a binge and save everything I like. I go through style.com and go through all the slideshows and
style.com.
I mean, did I say style.com?
I think so.
Oh, wow. I'm aging myself. VogueRunway.com.
NoahJohnson.com.
Noah Johnson, First View. Do you guys know First View? No.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually I'll go on a binge and I'll look at those shows, but the idea of registering and following up with PRs to hey, checked in, great show. I don't know. I won't engage until I'm begging for the clothes for a shoot in 2 days.
Yeah, every digital fashion week invite feels you've been waiting for your seat assignment to come through, and it's priority standing.
I do kind of like it though, because if you're writing about the shows and interviewing people, you know, normally it's sorry, this person is available to everyone except for you. Sorry. But now they're please talk to this person, please interview them.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Can we do some vibes?
Let's do it. Let's do it quick. Let's do vibe speed round.
13. All right, I'll go first. The first vibe is the Queen Naomi Osaka. Can I say that? Yeah. You didn't. You know what I thought? I was I bet Sam did her last week, but
we did talk about her last week.
You did? I knew it. But she's still a vibe. She's killing it. I hope she wins the U.S. Open. Serena lost last night, for those who are following.
No.
We're recording this on Friday. Yeah, she lost to this insane woman from Belarus. Insanely awesome woman from Belarus also. But anyway, Naomi Osaka's just looks insanely cool, plays so well. It's fun to listen to her talk after her matches. I love it. That's the vibe. Damn. That's the whole vibe. The highest paid female athlete on the planet.
Really? She got that bag from Comb.
Got a lot of dough. I don't think it's Comb that did it, but yeah, that too.
Yeah, she also lives in LA, which is cool because most professional tennis players they sort of settle in Florida, somewhere really warm where they can play year round. And she was like, fuck it, I'm going to go to LA, which is dope.
Get it. Where's she from?
She's from Florida. My vibe is this blended coffee beverage called Taika, T-A-I-K-A. It's some sort of, it's like a, you know, sans serif startup coffee thing that a friend of the pod, Chris Black, tipped me off on. And it's supposed to be the perfect
is
amount
this,
of
are
coffee.
They paying like, him?
All I know is that he had someone bring some over to my apartment, and
it's good. You fuck with it?
I've been feeling. It's been making me feel totally dialed. Yeah, I don't know what's in it. There's like adaptogens or some shit like that. It's very. It's like a scientific coffee cocktail.
To oh, it's make got you mushrooms.
Extremely
in it.
Focused. Yeah, it makes me feel
say
kind
it
of
again.
Crazy. Taika, like Taika YTT.
Frappuccino?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like a Starbucks yeah. Frappuccino. Yeah.
What we're talking about is a Frappuccino.
Oh, whip. I like, you guys ever go, like in the before times, would you ever go into the like Starbucks and listen to the barista like call out the like grande, no whip, sugar-free, two pump vanilla for Sam?
Do they do that?
Yeah, they do.
I love the Starbucks in Fideye. I used to stop at one every morning on my way to the office.
It's a reserve? Is it Starbucks Reserve?
No. It's a tourist Starbucks, which is amazing because people would just order the most insane drinks.
Unicorn Frappuccino.
Yeah. And then one day at the office, Will and I were there like sort of early, and I was sipping on my iced coffee from Starbucks, and he was walking in his office and he stopped and he looked at me and he said, "You know, Sam, I didn't really like peg you for a Starbucks guy. Would have thought you'd be more into like artisanal shit." And I was like, damn. I can never have this Starbucks anymore. Never have Starbucks again.
I'm shocked.
Okay. My vibe is Ashram tapes. Ashramtapes.com. It's all the Ashram tapes that that Alice Coltrane recorded on this beautiful website. And you can just stream them and it's wonderful. And there are some like cool videos and stuff as well. And I've just been playing that while I'm writing.
Wow, what a good website.
Ian, do you have a vibe to close us out?
My vibe, I had a vibe. What was my vibe? Oh, my vibe is right now, my, again, to being a fashion nerd, my mom is converting a bunch of VHS tapes into digital stuff. So I used to record video fashion and fashion file that used to come on E. Like I recorded it every Saturday morning for like 4 years. So my mom is now converting that into digital files. So they're like very formative. Like this is like 99 to like 2002 maybe, or 98 even. So I'm reviewing those and it's just crazy because like a lot of people that comment and stuff like I now or I've had interactions with. So it's really cool to see this thing that was so far off in middle school and now to see it again. It's just as inspiring. And so yeah, that's been my...
Are those not, these are not easily findable on YouTube or elsewhere?
No, they're not. I thought video fashion still has like some stuff up and fashion file is kind of hard to find, but it's the like Tim Blanks?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Tim Blanks who you can find some of his old stuff, but there's just like certain ones that have really stuck with me that are in the recesses of my mind that I'm now like, oh my God, I remember this so well.
We should have a watch party.
That's what I'm
trying
to.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna, we could do a Zoom meetup digital watch party.
Hell yeah. All right, everybody, look out for, check your inbox for an invite to Ian's Digital Fashion Video Week preview party.
Don't mix it up with Digital Fashion Week.
Yeah, sorry. Wear a beautiful Prada coat.
Or a tuxedo shirt.
What's everyone DMing Sam Hein about this week? Maybe just DM Sam Hein your fall
look.
Fits. Yeah, your fall.
And maybe
look.
we'll read them on the next episode.
We'll share the best.
Yeah, bring
Does Sam
heat.
Get all the fan mail?
We try to keep the DMs. We try to keep Sam's DMs lit every episode. So
I love that.
If you know anyone looking for companionship, or yeah, even if you don't have a fall look, you just need a
friend,
try on an ear to listen, a beautiful face to look at. DM Sam Hein.
I'm always here for our listeners.
Yes, I love that. Aww.
thanks for joining us, Ian. We'll see you next time we do this.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Thanks, Ian. All right, bye guys. Bye, guys.